Hello, welcome to Bagel Tech F1, the show that looks at all of the F1 news from the Bagel Tech Network. And I tell everyone to be quiet during the credits for the video, but I'm sure people could probably hear the rain battering against my window next to me on the left-hand side. That was horrendous. How are we all doing? I've got the usual panel here. Steve Neighbour, top left. How's it going, pal?
Very well, thank you very much. How are you?
Yeah, I'm all right. Have you had a good F1 weekend?
Yeah, no, I've been to a party on Saturday night, 25th wedding anniversary party, which was excellent, and managed to watch a little bit of the Grand Prix last night, but I must admit I watched it on delay this evening. So, it was good. I enjoyed it, actually. Good race this week.
What?
Really good race, yeah.
It seemed a bit boring, I thought, that was all. A bit samey.
Oh, I'm sure we'll get into it, but I found it quite fascinating at parts.
Right. And next to him, we've got Sarah. Hello, mate. How are you doing?
I'm all right, thank you. I was until the sad news this morning. So,
yeah, no, there was a fatality, wasn't there, over the weekend?
Yeah, Danny Weldon. When I used to watch my brother race karts, he was racing there at the same time as Lewis Hamilton as well. So,
yeah.
And my mum knew his mum quite well. So, it's very sad.
No. Thoughts to his family. I hope they get over it and stuff. But the Korean Grand Prix. The Korean Grand Prix, hot on the heels of the Japanese Grand Prix last week. We went to Korea, which had an enormous amount of trackside entertainment and track entertainment going on before the start, didn't it?
Didn't have any people in the crowd, though.
Dancers all over the place, but no one was there. Yeah.
Nobody there!
Was it in North Korea? Did I get something wrong?
Don't know. There's no one there. I want to know how much a ticket is. I'm going to Google now, see how much a ticket is for the Korean Grand Prix. It's going to be cheap as hell.
It's a month's wages.
What I thought was quite interesting was, I know it was after the race, but I don't know if you guys saw any of the red button coverage, but there was a bit towards the end of that where Martin, Jake and DC were standing on the track and they turned around, looked at the stand, and there was literally about 10 people there.
Was that after the race, though, to be fair?
Yeah, I mean, it was after the race, but yeah. Even so, it was compared
that was
with
almost
what
the opposite
like
of Japan, though, wasn't it? Because
yeah.
Was it Japan where the crowd were there very late after
absolutely.
The
absolutely. It was
event.
Dark, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, it wasn't dark here. It was, even then, it was a sun. You could see the sun was starting to set, but I just thought it was such a contrast.
Chanting that they didn't want Sky to get the coverage of F1. No, again, they didn't do that one.
Didn't see that one this time.
I'd be surprised if Murdoch's reach is that powerful.
Oh, don't you knock Murdoch, mate.
Oof. Oh, bugger, that's me doomed
that's
now.
That's you done, mate. You're in deep put for the rest of your life.
If my broadband was through Sky, my broadband would go down overnight now.
Definitely.
You get black.
Yeah.
Qualifying then. Qualifying was boring this week. And normally, when you look at the qualifying report on the BBC, there's something where, you know, we get that fantastic picture of the tyres last week, or we get some incident, there's a spin-off, there's a bit of argy-bargy, that kind of stuff. But it was kind of like, the guy basically just stood on the report, and he said, so everyone raced round, and they got finishing times, and yeah.
The only thing that was interesting was about the fact that the Red Bull decided to use all three sets of their soft compound during quali.
Yeah.
And save the primes for the race. And there was a lot of talk about that was being the right thing, but it actually turned out during the race to quickly prove to be in the wrong decision.
Well, they did mirror McLaren's ethic at one point, and they had to go back onto the super soft, didn't they?
Mm.
That was Vettel's stop where That's he was right. matching it just about lap 19-ish. But did you see the big, huge explanation from Coulthard and Jake at the start? You know, they got the two sets of tyres lined up and they were telling you the benefits and the negatives of each one.
Yeah, it was great.
Really, really good. I mean, technically, it was a real technician's weekend this weekend, I think,
yeah,
wasn't
it? Yeah, I tweeted about that during the race, actually.
If you came for blood and guts, you were disappointed. But if you came for slide rules and pocket calculators and pocket protectors, then it was your weekend, which I'm taking, yeah. Steve, means that that's what you were looking for, really.
I quite like I like the tie a bit at the beginning. I would just realise what the different colours mean. That's
yeah, it was good to actually see the intermediates in full wet, wasn't it? With the orange and blue colouring on them.
Do they still sell tables?
Sorry?
Do they still sell tables made out of Formula One tyres? Does anyone else know a person that has a table made out of a Formula One tyre?
Well, do you know anyone? Because I don't. Do you know someone then? Because I don't know.
Yeah, at school. Back in the day.
Back when I got Nicky Lauda's tyre.
Early 90s when I was in school. There was somebody who brought a tyre, turned it round on its side, and then put a glass top on it. It was a rubbish table.
Well, that's a surprise.
The tyre was slightly worn on one side. But
was it slick or was it a treaded?
Oh, I can't remember.
I do remember that now.
Might have been the form of the three gaps in it. But I just wonder whether the Formula One companies and teams need to sell off their tyres still to as tables to make a little bit of money on the side.
Do you know how they used to make intermediate tyres?
I don't, tell me.
They used to get a wood plane and put a very thin chiselled blade in it. And they used to put them on a thing and spin them round, and then they used to just put this wood chisel on and slowly just carve out a strip. That was it. They just physically cut the tyre down.
Like you used to do when you used to carve a piece of wood on a lathe.
Yeah. Just spin it around. They put this wood plane on and zzz, whoosh, big curls of swarf of rubber coming off. There you go. Back when I were a lad. No, I thought practice was really boring. Apart from Lewis got a pole.
Yes.
And then got out and they said, so you must be happy about that. Well, yeah. So, you know, how's things? Anything you can put your finger on? No. Been a bit of an up and down year.
He was just focusing on preparing for Sunday.
I reckon him and Nicole are in trouble. That's what all this is about. It's all about women. It's always about women.
No.
I quite like your Lewis impression.
What? You've got your eyes closed because you can't see any of the coverage, but if you close your eyes, it could have been him. I don't think so. I reckon he's got woman trouble. That's all it comes down to.
Trouble, management trouble. He's not as good as he thinks trouble. Button's better than him.
Oh, that's harsh.
That's true. when he finished the race, one of his comments on the BBC coverage was, it's good to be get the best position in the team.
Yeah.
I think he's struggling with his own position in the team at the moment. Isn't that right, Sarah?
I did notice that particular comment, and we were actually discussing it in terms of whether it was a dig at Jensen or whether actually he meant it in terms of himself. Just it was nice to actually get ahead of Jensen for once.
I think he's struggling with his relationship with Nicole, with his position within Nicole. But I've got to say, he was whinging about. Someone tweeted out that he was whinging about something, and I just tweeted back. He earns 30 million quid a year. He's shagging this skull skirts a face, and he's not happy. Some people.
That's Sarah. Because he cares about his racing. He's a born racer. And that's what's important to him, most important to him.
It's a born depressive from what I've seen this week. You get a pole and walk out and go, yeah, it's all right. Yeah, good, isn't it?
Yeah.
If you've won the world title once and come close to winning it in your rookie year and you have a performance like this year, you're going to be pretty hacked off.
Yeah, I mean, he's had an awful year.
Absolutely.
He has had a very bad year.
Most definitely. Right. Before we do the race, we're going to do our usual feature, Only Their Mother.
Which excellent.
This week we've had two sent in. Thank you very Woo-hoo! Much to those people who sent it in. The first one, I've got to say, I kind of thought of myself, and it's a kind of obvious one. Okay, so we've got DC there straight away, David Coulthard. I've stolen the picture and it says, do not copy. There you go. I haven't copied it, I've just used it. It's blatant. And they reckon that David Coulthard is exactly the same as Peter Perfect out of Penelope Pitstop. No? Yes.
Yep.
No. Yeah.
No.
No. No, no, no,
no. No, I don't think so.
Well,
it's a bit more obvious, I suppose, because of the chiseled chin, that's all it is, isn't it?
Yeah.
We'll have to think of it. We need better ones for David Coulthard. So if anyone's got a decent one for David Coulthard,
I think he looks more like Mark Webber.
Looks like Dr. No or something.
That's just the jacket, isn't it? Which I'm not allowed to show this picture, so...
No. Not DC. I'm talking about the character.
It looks like Mark Webber.
Yes. Looks more like Mark Webber, I think.
No, I suppose. Bit of stubble. It could be him.
Well, Mark's also got the chisel chin as well.
Yeah, no, okay, fair enough.
And the eyebrows are a bit more Mark Webber, I think.
The eyebrows are a bit more kind of mass murderer, I would have said.
Well, yeah, jumping off your face. But
we have had another one, which I've got to say is more than good enough to take the biscuit. And it centres around our old mate, Mr. Paul de Resta. How do you think Paul de Resta looks like?
I was thinking, Paul, I know you've got something that I haven't seen yet, but I think he looks like somebody from Grange Hill, and I just can't work it out.
You think it's Tucker or Stebson?
Yeah, somebody like that.
The bully, Stebson. That's not bad, actually. No, it's not that one.
It's like Bieber. Jenkins.
Alan Partridge.
Yeah, actually, yes, I can see what you mean.
Well, I sat and looked at it for a bit, and I thought, hang on, no. And then I got Photoshop out, and as soon as I got Photoshop out, I was like, you're kidding.
If you forget the hair, yeah, maybe.
Well, if you put the hair in.
I said forget the hair.
You put Alan Partridge's hair on top of Paul de Resta.
It's him.
If Paul de Resta's watching, and I'm sure he is,
of course,
that's his new style for next year.
Yeah, I mean, that is so close, isn't it? That is without doubt Alan Partridge. There's no question of it. He looks like Alan Partridge. When you get the hair right, it clearly is. There you go. Paul de Resta and Alan Partridge. This week, only their mother could tell them apart. That's it.
I don't think I'll ever forget last week's.
No, last week's was pretty good.
That was a classic.
I got a tweet off the guy that sent it in saying, thank you very much. I said, we'll have to send you something. He said, no, praise is enough. Thank you. So there we go.
Oh, good on you.
We've got another couple that have been shouted out. And
yeah, I just noticed.
The one in the chat room, which we're not going to say because that's not bad, actually. We'll use that next week, perhaps.
Right. That looks very good one in the chat room.
There's one that's been, I mean, I think you sent the same thing through. So the race then. I fully expected Jenson Button to try and career straight into Sebastian, getting payback for last week. But no.
Well, he turned into me. I just watch every race now, just wanting Vettel just to not win.
Yeah, now he's won it.
Just stop winning.
Well, what do you think of turn one at career? Because I thought it was an absolute nightmare. I mean, you would have... why they didn't have a massive accident there, I'll never know.
It was just spitting the rain as well.
Well, I mean, yeah, they had a little smattering rain.
Trying to encourage some type of violence between other individuals of the human race.
No. I thought, because turn one, if you look at turn one, you've got quite a fast straight up to it, and then you've got to slow down for a 90-degree turn, and you've got traffic emerging for the right, and you're supposed to give way to traffic from the right in the highway code, aren't you? But yeah. I mean, that entry point for the pit lane was bloody awful. Whoever thought of that or designed it wanted kicking.
Yeah, somebody did actually say that whoever it was that did that, it couldn't have been much worse if they'd...
I can't remember it was who emerged, but someone came out, and they came out at lightning speed, and it just happened there was no one there at the time, which maybe they checked their mirrors or whatever. But
was that Rosberg and...
Yes.
They nearly took each other out. Was
that's
it Rosberg
right.
and Webber?
Yes, that was it. But you've got to say, I mean, there's no way those boys are going to do a shoulder check before pulling out, are they? If it's not in the mirror, then they have no clue what's going on. And the pit wall finishes quite late. And then the turn out around the bollard. I thought that was absolutely going to be the place where there was going to be a humdinger. And there was nothing. It was, maybe I'm wrong.
They're all behaving themselves. That's why.
Yeah.
I thought you got a penalty for going across the sodded line as you come out of the pits.
Who did?
But they all seem to be doing it this time.
No, I think as long as you made it round the bollard, I don't think the stewards seemed to care, because that was it with Button, wasn't it? Button, that was the one. Button flew out, and Button just turned and went straight out and just cut across the bollard. Because he was on the right side of the bollard, I think they kind of let it go.
The only one who got penalised was Maldonado on the entry from going the wrong side of the bollard. He got a drive-through penalty for it.
Yeah, he's drunk.
Well, I don't know. I mean, Paul in the chat room saying that he thought that was... that was a dotted line. So everything the other side of the bollard was dotted. But I think there was like a little bit of solid line, wasn't there? And then it went to dotted. So
they definitely get the penalty solid line on other tracks, but that one, maybe it's different.
I think it's because they put the bollard up. They kind of, you know, well, put a bollard up if it's not where you want to denote the end of the turning point.
Yeah, maybe the FIA took a lenient line because of how badly and, you know, how unforgiving it was.
Mm.
Mm. Certainly on the exit.
That's a great circuit, though. I love the whole circuit.
That long, that 1,100 metre straight is just, for those that like to boot it, that is amazing, isn't it? And then followed by immediately by a 700 metre straight.
Well, it's quality for DRS zone, isn't it? I mean, it's,
yeah,
it's exactly. And when you get someone can kick in curves as well as, it's real opportunity at pass. The one thing that got me was right at the start, and it was Vettel all over again from the way he overtook Alonso a few weeks ago at the Monza. When he went on the grass and took him.
Yeah.
Oh, that was...
He wanted... right at the start, he wanted Lewis Hamilton. He was going to have Lewis Hamilton. He was right up his backside all the way through the first four turns. And twice he came out to pop out and have a go at him. And the second one, he kicked up a bit of dirt off that, got in the dirty line of the track. But he was going to have him in the first two to three turns or there was nothing going to happen. And he could not... Hamilton could not force this guy off. He was going to have him, and he took him. And that was, I thought that was real quality from Vettel.
Mm.
Yeah.
Just wanted the take, just wanted to go for it, just wanted to get past everyone. And it was really good.
Yeah, I mean, Red Bull have said that they were really surprised that they were anywhere near McLaren this weekend. And I think when Vettel qualified Q2, Vettel just must have thought, well, here's my chance. If I can get past him, I've got a chance of winning this race.
Yeah.
I was just amazed on how the fact that Vettel could pull out and then pull a 1.5 second gap out of nowhere, purposely almost, to make sure that he was outside of that DRS zone.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was 2.2 seconds by lap 9.
Yeah, it was just, it was nowhere near close to keeping up with him, as opposed to Webber, who was really struggling to kind of really... overtake Hamilton.
Well, after the Schumacher-Petrov incident, when the safety car went in, I think it was only sort of 8 or 10 laps later, and he got an 11-second gap between him and the rest of the field.
Mm. That was my favourite bit in the race. That was.
Oh right, so I've done your magic moment already.
No. Well, I've got a funny magic moment, but the fact that. Hamilton was then racing with Webber and Alonso storming up as well. That was the best bit. I loved the racing that those two had.
There was some good battles in 3, 4, and 5.
Yeah,
with 2, 3, 4, and 5 as well. Because with Hamilton as well.
So did we have a magic moment?
Forgotten it.
Come on, Steve.
We haven't done the whole race yet, but I mean, I just thought up to this, was it the magic moment at the start or was it towards the end?
Mine was on the last lap.
Oh, right. Okay. I think you've probably got both got the same one then. What about the Petrov-Schumacher incident? So Petrov and Schumacher come together at turn 3 and for no apparent reason, Petrov just launches into the back of Schumacher. I mean, you've had no idea what was going on.
In Martin Brundle-esque language, he T-boned him.
Yeah.
I think quite a lot of drivers just got together and said, somebody's got to have a go at him. Somebody's got to take him out.
Chewy?
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah.
How many times has he done something dangerous this year? Great, exciting stuff to watch. But I bet Barrichello was in the background saying, oh, I'll get him back for all of those times. He's just almost run me off the track. Was it this season, last season? Or he's put Barrichello into the...
I don't think this
was last season, yeah.
If it was going to happen, Steve, I don't think that would have been Renault doing that. They are desperately trying to stay ahead of Force India and the constructors.
Well,
they out like that. I don't think they would have done it differently.
The slip of the tongue there is Rubens Barrichello in the background, because that's pretty much all he's been this season, isn't it? I mean,
I tell you what, I don't know if you saw it, but the amazing thing with that particular accident was Fernando Alonso. He was right behind Petrov until the last second, and he pulled over to the left. If he hadn't done that, he'd have gone straight into the back of
Petrov. There was something going on there, because that's exactly what I've picked up on. And it's I've taken a picture here from the BBC coverage. Make sure you watch the BBC coverage because it's fantastic, and I've stolen the picture, sorry. But if you look at the line of Alonso, he's not even making an attempt at that turn. And then you go on to the next couple of frames. Look, he's already going. I mean, it doesn't matter what any of those boys are doing. He's already going over the green strip. It's like he's fast asleep. He's changing the cassette in his CD player.
Whoa. No, you sure that's not the fact that he can see there's an accident going to happen and that he's doing his best to absolutely make sure he doesn't get taken out by it?
But before, I mean, he's got very great insight then, because before that, I mean, he's... If you look at that picture there,
he's an accident definitely about to happen.
No, I know, but if you look at the position that he's in, he's actually, in terms of real pace, ahead of Schumacher, and he's obviously clocked him in the rearview mirror and taken evasive action, or he was going very, very wide there and then realised that he couldn't cut across and into the corner.
I'd just given up.
Yeah. So Fernando Alonso throwing in the towel then?
No.
I mean, that was a statement, wasn't it, in the end? I've had enough. I've given up.
Yeah, and despite the fact that Martin and DC tried to think that that might just be a coded message, Fernando actually admitted that it, effectively it was correct. Although it does sound like it was actually taken out of context, because he did say that he meant in terms of trying to catch.
Yeah, chat room saying that was bull.
I think it was because, I'm not sure if it was bull, but I think it was because he was frustrated for the whole race of being kept behind Massa by the team, or not being able to take over Massa and overtake Massa in the for the majority of the race. I think he was really frustrated.
Well, I was going to say that I think the big issue between those two was, I mean, you could almost imagine him just bursting onto the radio and saying, "Tell this little git to get out of the way."
Does he not know who I am?
Yeah, exactly. It was a real kind of, "Where's your frigging orders now then, boys?" Tell him to pull over, go and get a Costa coffee.
Yeah.
Because he really was frustrated that he was stuck behind him.
Mm.
I thought Shuey and Petrov's comments after the collision, just leaping back, were really, really good.
Fantastic.
In the interview with Shuey, he was the first one to make any comment at all. And he just said, "Well, you know, I think I'm two, he's one now. You know, like, yeah, I've knocked him off the track twice and now he's off the other end. So, you know, we're kind of drawing even slowly. It goes with the territory." And I thought it was really cool. And as well, Petrov just apologised and said,
"My bad. I know. It was nice being completely honest." And I was thinking at that time, God, I hope the team principal at Renault is not wincing right now.
Is there going to be a penalty, do you think, for him? Because they're talking about a grid penalty, aren't they?
Yeah, I mean, I could see it happening.
I mean, I can't understand. I mean, I know he was trying to overtake and he just kind of was like, "Oh no, I haven't got enough left over to stop." But I think it's a, you know, it was a cock up. It was a lapse of judgment. It was a blinding moment. It wasn't dangerous driving in the sense that he wasn't trying to force a position. He wasn't trying to force his authority on the track. He just made a cock up. And to pay five grid places for that, I think, seems a bit harsh.
I completely disagree. I'm getting fed up with the whole thing, though, with the blooming stewards investigating this, that and the other. It's taking the fun out of racing.
Right, okay.
I disagree.
Go on then.
If you're going down the straight at 100 and something stupid miles an hour, and you're going into three cars ahead of you, that's not the time when you have a lapse of concentration and misjudge a corner by that amount. I can imagine if you do it, if you're, you know, no one else is around you and you realise that you're by yourself and you then look at the radio or then look at your gauge. But when you're in that much traffic, you know that you're going to be on the ball. He really misjudged it. It's Banzai. He just took went for it.
Well, I'm not disagreeing, is he? He just, I mean, Chatham's saying he kept on coming, which is exactly right. But it was a cock-up more than... I mean, I would reserve penalties like that for things where people have either been malicious or they've defended a track position illegally or they've forced an accident by their poor standard of driving in terms of you know, it's my space, not your space. I know I've cocked up, but I'm going to keep it and take it back, or cutting a corner or something like that. But I don't know. He genuinely just looked like he had had an aberration. You know, he'd looked down and taken a piece of data off his steering wheel and looked up and, holy crap, there's the corner.
Yeah, I mean, I think the kind of things that the FIA really should be stamping down on are the kind of things that the Maldonado and Hamilton incident, was it in at Spa, where after the end of quali, where Maldonado appeared to, and it looked deliberate.
Dived in front of him,
That kind of thing definitely needs to be dealt with.
But he did get a five place grid penalty for that.
Yeah, but a racing incident, I mean, you know, unless somebody can show that it was deliberate, then leave alone. It just takes the fun out of racing. I think that's really where Lewis has come unstuck this season.
When would they apply the penalty though, Steve? Would it be immediately before, or would they be doing it now?
Grid position now.
So they'd say now he was going to have a 5 penalty before he even started, and they haven't said it yet. So
yeah, I was thinking about that, because whenever you apply it, it's not right, and you almost should apply it to this race just gone. Really, just give him a, you know, docked him two places or three places, because doing it on the next race takes it changes their strategy, doesn't it, going into the next qualifying.
Yeah, they've only got to hit 15th or 16th, and then they're going to stop trying because they know there's no point in going any further. Mm, yeah,
that's right.
Yeah. With the penalty. Interesting decision as well, though, for Force India to to say no top 10 shootout anymore.
Yeah, there's a good comment in the chat room.
What's that? What's that? There was a Groupon code
on the vodka radio.
What was that about?
I missed that. Encourage him to mess up was there's free vodka going, which he got excited about, and therefore didn't make the corner.
Oh, you meant about Petrov?
Petrov, yeah, yeah. Sorry about that. Bit slow.
No stereotypical views here.
What about the kind of drivers' musical chairs then? That's probably about to happen. I mean, we've got 3 races left. You've got to see Massa leaving Ferrari, surely.
Kicked out by Alonso, probably.
Yeah, I mean, someone else has got to be coming in for that. But you don't think so next season?
I still think he'll be there next season.
Ooh. Steve? In or out?
Out.
You think he's out? I say he's out. But you're saying still in, Sarah. What's the logic on that?
He'll be there for another year.
So Alonso's leaving.
No. I mean, I know that there's obviously some talk about the fact that Alonso hasn't come close to delivering a world title, which I thought was a little bit unfair because he nearly won it in 2010, just that he got caught behind a car in Abu Dhabi and that screwed his title chances and gave it to Vettel. But I think if he's going to have to start delivering soon, otherwise Ferrari are going to start to ask questions.
So you could see Alonso going before Massa.
I think Massa's got he's got one more year in him.
Right. Before,
but if he doesn't do something serious, then I think they'll be looking to replace him with somebody else.
So this is like kind of a middle age thing, isn't it, with the drivers? You know, what happens when a driver gets to middle age and they're past their sell by date? They go on HRT therapy. So he gets pushed down the grid to the back, joins HRT.
It depends if, you know, some drivers will be like Barrichello and just work their way down the grid, or there'll be some of them that are actually, or Kovalainen or Trulli that do that. And there'll be some who just say, okay, fine, I've had enough, you know, I'll quit while I'm ahead.
There is a fault with Barrichello's career path, though, isn't there? It's a progression. It's not exactly the right way. Did we have a magic moment? Steve, what was your magic moment?
I loved the fact that Webber could just not quite overtake Hamilton. It was like, I almost am there. My DRS is open. I'm in the quicker car. I'm in the Red Bull. We've just won the championship, but no, Hamilton was just every single lap ahead of him. I love the fact that Button did the undercut on was it Webber? Worked perfectly. That's what Red Bull have been doing to lots of people. And just one more, I can't understand why Webber was brought in when Webber was in front of, behind Button, and Button was on the soft tyres, had to pit, and Webber could have kept on going. I don't know why they brought Webber in. That was I would have been absolutely fuming if I was Mark on that one. But yeah, three short magic moments. I enjoyed that race. It was good.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it was a technical kind of thing. You had to be watching, really, rather than something being overt. Sarah, what were your magic moments?
I have two of them, and I thought it goes. The obvious one is obviously the battle between Webber and Hamilton, but I thought rather than that, I would actually pick two, which both occurred on the last lap. The first one was Alguersuari's overtaking of Rosberg, which we didn't see much coverage of, but apparently it was an absolutely brilliant move to give him seventh place,
right?
Which was quite good. But also the fact that Vettel, on the last lap, stuck in the fastest lap of the race.
Yeah.
Because he wanted the stats, apparently. And I just thought, yeah, okay, that's almost like taking the mick of the rest of the field.
No, that is pretty. I did notice that right at the end. It was saying about it. Steve, we lost your video, mate.
Okay. Shall I go on? Come back.
Yeah, you'll shout out. Yeah, that was interesting that he was coming back with the statistical analysis rather than
apparently he likes his stats.
Anything? Well, yeah, he's German. What can you say?
He's German. Precise. You can't just say that.
He's German. Germans like stats. My magic moment was definitely right at the start. I've gone on this year probably in support of Vettel more than the rest of you have. But there's a couple of times this year where he's pulled out driving and ballsiness that I think just really clearly shows that he is a cut above as a driver. It's not just the car that's keeping him ahead. It is the fact that he's a balls and all driver and he really is superb. And I've got to say, my other, because you've had two, so I'm going to have two, my other magic moment is Paul DeResta with an Alan Partridge haircut, because that is him. I'm telling you, that's him. That's well done.
Magic moment.
It's very, very clever. Very close.
It's very close. Right. Our last word goes to our sponsors. They are UK2.net. We are totally and utterly indebted to them. They pick up all our bandwidth charges, and there's a hell of a bandwidth charge going along with this network at the moment. If you can, please support them. That means going to bageltechnews.com and making sure you use the click-through link so that they know that we've sent you. And then you can take... whatever you buy, go to the checkout and type in Bagel Tech, and Bagel Tech will get you, all one word, will get you 15% off your basket. If you're transferring domain in, then you want Bagel DNS, and Bagel DNS will get rid of the DNS management charge that will come with it. You can use both codes, so don't worry. Get both of those in and you'll get a significant reduction on your bill. And then the other thing, you've only got until the 27th of October, but you could win a Nintendo 3DS with us and with UK2. Click on the link below, answer a question about the VPS 400 server, and when you do, you can enter and win a Nintendo 3DS, a year's hosting, or a £25 iTunes voucher. So there you go. And you don't have to be a customer to enter. You just need to have a click through from our website. So please, please, please enter that. It demonstrates that even if you're not a customer, just that entry of the competition means that it shows that you're supporting the network and everybody's happy. We would be lost without them. So please support UK2 if you possibly can. I got a feeling I've forgotten to do something, like I forgot Magic Moment last week. Have we got anything else we need to cover? The competition. I've just done that, no? Are you talking about a different competition?
Voting in the Euro competition.
Oh, voting in the Euro competition. Yes, that's going to finish at the end of the month too. So please go to our website, click on the banner there. There's a blue outline banner, and vote for us in the European Podcast Awards. This podcast isn't in there, unfortunately, because it hadn't started when it came up. But if you go there, please, and just vote for the shows. Just keep voting every day. Vote 20 times a day. And all you've got to do is close your browser down and start again, and you can vote as many times as you like. I need lots and lots of votes. I want to win that award because it's... it would work great. Thank you very much. Go on, Steve.
I just love it. If Vettel wasn't there, I know I'm going on about it, but if Vettel wasn't there, that race today would have been amazing for the champion, for the first, second, and third position. Those that's second, third, fourth, and fifth are so close.
Yeah.
We just need a big bus to... No, I'm not going to say that. But
yeah, but what's really worrying is the fact that one of those people has exactly the same car as the guy that's seconds ahead of them.
Oh, he's by far and away the best driver, but it's just
if you were saying that the championship is a 1-2 for Red Bull, Vettel, Webber, and Webber was just sitting back because he's driver number two on team orders, then I wouldn't be anywhere near as interested. But it's because of the fact that he is struggling in that cluster of people, and it's very, very evenly matched as far as the cars are concerned. So the only thing that is separating them is Vettel, and Vettel is head and shoulders above everyone else.
Yeah, I agree.
And that's where it separates for me. That's where I'm not going to knock Vettel for, you know, that kind of stuff, and not sit and think I want him to flunk out, because it's just so good compared to everyone else.
Yeah. The only thing, the interesting thing is, though, as far as the battle for second place is, Jensen increased his lead by 2 points. He's now 10 points clear.
Yes.
Just the man is a machine is in the chat room, and I agree with that. Can we get some focus on Vettel to get some driver likeies for the next show?
We need a driver like, yeah, we need a, only a mother can tell them apart for Vettel, please.
Yeah.
That's the competition. And we'll give a prize. We'll think of a prize. It might not be very much. It might be a Duracell battery, but we'll give you a prize. Yeah, so write in with your Vettel, only their mother can tell them apart, and we'll feature that next week.
Yeah. I just thought one, actually, but I'm not going to say it now. I want you to check it out.
Well, the chat room's already picked one. He's a V3000 from Cyberdyne Systems.
Okay, that's not who I was thinking of. That's
exactly it. Why have we got an administrator in our chat room who we don't know?
Huh?
Carlitos Bahia.
Oh, yes.
Hello, Carlitos. Thank
Unless
you.
Unless he works for a certain streaming company that we use.
He might do. Hello. Nice to see you. Thank you very much. See you soon. Because we're at
the finish anyway. A V3000 Terminator model.
I think the T, actually. I think the
T1000. There's a T800, a T850, a T101.
There was a T1000 because that was the polymetal alloy. Polymetal alloy.
Unless Paul in the chat room actually knows more than we do.
We've been pwned.
He's been to the future.
Oh, the V is for Vettel, you see. There you go, as opposed to the T for Terminator.
Well, it's not a 3000 model.
You don't think?
I'm on Wikipedia. Paul must be from the future.
Must be. Man ahead of his time. There we go. We'll be back again, not next week.
Where can we get hold of you?
Oh, yeah, we'll do that, won't we, in a minute?
Yeah.
Well, where can we get hold of you? Stay after useless. I'm tired.
Clubhead HQ. On Twitter, that's me.
Thanks, mate. And London Mac User Group, which is meeting without you this week.
Yeah, I'm stupidly busy in work at the moment, so I'm only just getting back at this time of night. So I'm lax on that at the moment, but I'm sure work will calm down soon.
Jolly good. And Sarah, where can we get you?
You can get me on Twitter at SarahJaneUK, and also on the Bagel Tech Big Show. And just for those of you that are listening this week, my cool thingy will be F1 related.
Ooh. It's going to be the iPad app. Got to be.
No comment.
That's going to be on sale for next year soon, surely.
I'm not giving anything away at this stage.
What was I going to say? I was going to say, you see, you interrupted me where the thing is. I got my head... When are we back? When are we back?
Two weeks' time.
India.
Inaugural Grand Prix in India.
Is that the one? Yeah.
And it's a couple of hours later in the morning, so it's a bit more sensible time to get up and watch.
Very good. So we'll be back for India and see who wins. I'm just wondering, they've got to be strapped in a car for 2 hours. You can't get out and go to the toilet. Is India the best place to have a Grand Prix? That's the closing thought.
There's all sorts of comments you can add there.
Yeah. We'll see you next week. See you. Bye.
Good night.
For some reason, the credits haven't rolled. I don't know why. Never mind.
I didn't want to say anything in case it started after what happened a couple of weeks ago.
Oh, bugger.